The producers.
I wanted to get into more specifics on not the people that work there, but you already said you may have one or two openings. Tell me some things that you see or you want to see in potential producer new hires that, you know, things that will stand out, things that are good qualities to have, not more than just being trustworthy and checking an ego.
Yeah.
And then I want to hear some of the things you've seen or some things that people do that are awful habits, things that you just do not want to see.
Well, you know, we've got, as I said, we've got a lot of competition out there, and we've got to be very innovative. And some of the key things we strive to do is on a per channel basis. You know, every channel is different, has their own mood, style, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
approach. But authenticity and innovation, I think, are critical. And you know, we don't, as in any working environment, and I don't care whether you're making widgets or whatever, you don't always have the time to, throw 20 ideas against the wall and continue to, you know, refining them. You know, the old saying, writing is rewriting and producing is reproducing. We go through that, but we still have to get the product out and cram it in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But really, to answer your question, I look for people. I don't want to say out of the box. God, that's such a cliche.
You're still speaking cliches now, Mitch.
but people, yeah, the people that just really can just kind of shed their a lot of their terrestrial background.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my producers, one of my top producers, actually is the son of a famous guitarist, but I won't say his name, but was mixing rap records in New York and never done radio in his life. And I kind of recruited him as a young fella, and he's one of my top guys. He's super talented. So I look also for some candidates that are outside of the radio pool. Another one, our musical composer / producer, was a musical composer for years ago. He actually was a drummer for a well-known band, and you know, that brings fresh perspectives to the table. You don't bring some of that radio baggage per se with you. And then those that are seasoned radio vets know to stay away from that stuff. You know, that kind of cliche old school way of approaching it, big voices and mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. Not saying that we don't, you know, have big voices on a few
There's
channels.
There's a time and a place.
But in some cases it's a parody, and other times, you know, we do have a guy that says it's one, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we try to be, you know, we just try to take different approaches and use sound. And since we don't have to sell anything, it just broadens what, you know, the possibilities of what you can do to just basically, when you go to a channel, you're going there for a mood. You want to listen to Spa and chill out, you know, in the Wind Chime channel or mm-hmm. whatever. Or you want to rock, you know, in a certain decade. Well, not only, if you're a classic rock fan, not only do we have, the 60s and 70s classic, early 70s classic rock, mid 70s, that's called classic vinyl. We got the second generation classic rock, you know, the Springsteens and later U2 and stuff like that. That's classic rewind, you know, because kind of obviously a parody of the playing off of things that were on vinyl and then later cassettes. But, you know, it you just have to reinforce that mood mm-hmm. of vibe of the channel,
and
you know.
Speaking in as specific terms as you can, but if I'm someone that wants to, apply for a job there, what are some things that I might do that you will look at and go, oh my, I will never hire that person, you know, specifically?
Well, I probably the best and funniest example, but it's a little bit of off track. I did have a candidate once send a demo of his work, quote unquote, that was production I had done on a channel on Sirius 6 years before. So that obviously didn't work
so
out.
Oh, so don't steal.
Yeah, don't steal. you know, look, it's really hard, I think, to, with all these, chase cuts and production templates that a lot of channels are doing, to really try to distinguish really who did what. And that's almost a detective work now, to really vet a candidate. And the way I do that is I basically have a standard protocol for that. I say, all right, I want you to pick three channels on our platform. Really get to know the vibe, the jocks, the music, in and out. and then act like you're the programmer and the producer and give me some custom imaging that says, that proves to me you can do it better than the person that's doing it now. And then I know they did it. It's custom. You know, they turn it around pretty quick, hopefully, mm-hmm. and I know how, you know, how they work. And I go through that process a couple of times. I mean, I ask anybody that works for me. I make them jump through a lot of hoops before, you know, before I hire them. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff I look for. And then you can kind of weed out the folks that you know that aren't really going to cut the mustard or keep the bar up as high as really we demand it, because it's very competitive and we want to stay on top of the, you know, we really want to offer the best content out there. You're paying for it. We better.
And speaking of that, I don't know how specific you want to get, but I am very curious. You guys are all about content and original content. You've just said how you want the best producers and all that. Talk about the compensation, though. You know as much as anyone kind of where it's gone in radio in general. Are you guys paying pretty well? Like, can you give me a number what people might expect to make there?
Well, you know, it. I think we do compensate very well for those that have the background mm-hmm. And the skill. Obviously, people have different skill level sets, we've managed to recruit some pretty well known, highly talented producers. So I think that right there tells you we're obviously paying enough to take care of them. We offer discretionary bonuses as well, and which terrestrial radio certainly doesn't do. I'll put it to you this way: probably the average tenure right now is about 7-8 years of every producer that I have working with me. Several of them, a handful, go back to when I predate me.
Yeah.
You stick around here. I mean, this is, I'm not saying we don't have our rough days, but this is a great company to work for. And, I also am very sensitive to the producers' workload and their relationships with their programmers. And if I sense that, there's some malcontent or something's not working, whatever, then, you rejuggle the, shuffle the deck a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you what producers are making. It's a pretty broad spectrum, obviously. But,
right.
In the days of imaging directors making, $400,000 a year and made, are pretty much gone. But, most of my guys and gal don't really complain about their salary.
Okay.
They complain about that they're still on Pro Tools 7, but we're fixing that in a few months. We're going up to Pro Tools 10 and all new gear.
I won't mention his name, although I already told you before. I won't mention his name in the podcast, but I did see a nice picture posted somewhere out there on the interwebs. Big stacks of fancy new Macs. I'm very jealous of you guys.
Yeah, we just got a big shipments, and we're getting ready to do an major studio upgrade. And that's another cool thing about the large staff we have here. We have a chief mixing engineer. He does, he's cut records for Madonna, and he does all the recordings at Jazz at Lincoln Center. His name's Rob McComber. I use him to train my staff in Pro Tools, but basically he's going to set up the template for this next gen of studio. Then we're going to clone it basically in all our rooms so that they're all identical.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those kind of resources in house, they can collaborate with people that know radio and know what their specific needs are, like mm-hmm. me, to really make the optimal setup. And as I said, collaboration is key. I like collaboration, even though some instances, sometimes the best production comes from a guy sitting in a dark room all alone, not communicating with anybody. Now, that's fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like to keep the environment very diverse. I like to change channel assignments about every 6 months to 2 years, depending on the individual and the channel.
Do you ever yank a channel away from someone who is upset by that really wants to keep going with it, or is that just that doesn't happen?
I've probably had a couple situations where people were disappointed to lose a channel. I mean, it's a very complex puzzle when I have to pick the assignments. I have to take into account, what I think their ability is, their familiarity with the channel, their desire to do it. That's why I said earlier, I try to have at least one channel that they would do for free out of just pure passion,
mm-hmm.
Because that keeps them engaged. And then other channels, for the most part, I do take that into account. It's not the primary thing. I mean, there are probably some producers that do channels that they are not particularly, you know, a big, huge fan of. But if they despise the format or the programmer or whatever, which I can't really think of a case where that's happened, but right. I certainly wouldn't make them, you know, make their job miserable. I'll put it to you that way. I like happy producers, you know.
I've had a few questions submitted for you. I have just a couple more for you, but I wanted to ask this one specifically.
Are these the hard-hitting ones you said that you're going to hit me with?
Oh, I haven't hit you with those yet? I try to not upset the guests so they hang up on me. So.
Oh, I'm unoffendable. Yeah. Go ahead. Hit me.
One's not hard-hitting, I'll say, but it has to do with specific branding. You know, as a platform, you've mentioned it already, and I think people widely know it, that the music channels are commercial-free. And
yep.
That is something that, you know, terrestrial radio will oftentimes, you know, make as their major branding position. You know, less commercials. Mm-hmm. We're the less commercials. You know, they're always. So when you don't really have that, and I'm trying to ask his question the way he wants, but when they, I'm going to read it here, but they don't need to worry about that, as in Sirius doesn't need to worry about the less commercials position. So he says, ask about what they do to set themselves apart from a branding perspective without the need to worry about the less commercial standpoint. So basically, he wants to know, you know, from a branding perspective, what do you guys focus on to set yourselves out, set yourselves apart?
Well, you know, in our imaging and branding, we do weave in occasionally a little reminder that we're commercial-free.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of instances, I mean, people listen to radio in their car, and they're going to possibly bop between terrestrial radio and satellite. And you know, it's a good thing to, in the branding and imaging, to occasionally remind them that we're commercial free, that, and on, you know, channels like Sirius XMU, Alt Nation, The Highway, which is the, you know, the Hits One, the Z100 of country mm-hmm. music. Those are portals of discovery, really, too, for new music. I think we really like to let people know that. We like to remind them that we are commercial free. And one of the coolest things is, unlike terrestrial, when you're in terrestrial radio, you're beating your chest saying, we're the best, you listen to only us, 99.1, whatever, you know, nobody else exists. And I used to work for a general manager years ago. Never mention TV on your radio show. TV doesn't exist in our world. Well, that's a little extreme, of course. But basically, we're the opposite. We want people to check out all the other channels on the platform. Mm-hmm. So when they write that check for 12, 13, 14, whatever they're a month, that they know they're getting a lot for that money.
Yeah.
You know, we do even cool cross-imaging. Like there'll be maybe a Janis Joplin, Summertime or something, and the jock or a piece of imaging will say, you know, that's actually a cover. It was originally done by Bessie Smith. Check it out on the Blues channel blah, 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 where you'll hear that kind of stuff.
I was going to say, I noticed that with Sirius, I mean, with XMU, Alt Nation, and what is it called now? Sirius XMU?
Yeah.
A lot of that. You know, you heard this band actually on, you know, over on Sirius XMU first. Isn't that awesome? Well, here they are. Now they're bigger. You know, they cross-promote a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we, I think that's something we have an edge on radio with, because now we have the clout to, and some savvy programmers, I think, that can pick some, you know, pick some hits, which I guess like what we're still doing all these years later. But, you know, we can expose people first. And I was just reading something today, I forgot, but you know, where most people get turned on to new music first by their friends, but second is radio. And mm-hmm. I'm sure satellite's included in that bunch, but you know, that's one thing that we like to pride ourselves on. And the beauty is you can skim across our whatever 100 music channels and there's not going to be anybody pitching you on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that means that might be a selling point in and of itself, is since there's no commercials and that's all nice, but we will literally not, you know, beat your head in to buy an Acura or
right. And nor do we have to continually brand our frequency or call letters. You know, we don't have to, you know, beat match our, you know, call letters to anything. I mean, we do branding and let them know what channel they're listening to because they might not be looking at the display on their radio. We can do it in creative, clever ways that are a little more subtle or different
yeah.
or unique or innovative than, you know, the and we really try not to shove things down listeners' throats. Like, we tell them, we're going to play the best songs or the songs you grew up with. And who the hell knows what songs this person grew up with? You know, we got 20 million plus subscribers. So we really let people think for themselves, I guess, is a good way to put it.
This will lead to a bigger question, but I'm curious. Do you, now that you're on a platform like that with literally hundreds of channels, do you get to spend any time listening to terrestrial radio anymore?
You know, I really don't, partly by design. I do listen to 1010 Winds just to hear what kind of stuff's going on in New York and who got mugged and what the weather's going to be. But that's about it, really.
Well, that actually, one thing that I think terrestrial is, I'll just say it, it's doing better and probably will do better for a while at least, is just the super local stuff. Are you worried about that angle of the business? That, I mean, by virtue of satellite being national and international, depending on how you look at it, you can't really win in, you know, Roanoke, Virginia, for instance, or even.
Yeah.
So how much does that play into what you guys are doing? Or have you just decided, you know, yeah, we're not going to be the local station, but maybe people don't want local? Or do you just, you know, how does that play in?
Well, yes. You know, that's always been the argument since the dawn of satellite radio.
Sure.
That's the one advantage we don't have. But we have certain ways of getting around a lot of that. We have traffic and weather channels,
yeah,
for major and not so major metropolitan areas. You know, we have what's called Sirius XM 2.0, which is a lot of customization. You're going to be able to, in fact, that we just introduced that today, that you can kind of get on-demand programming from the talk and the music side, like the Tom Petty Show, Theme Time Radio Hour, Bob Dylan's Theme Time Radio, mm-hmm, Hour, you know, things like that. And, you know, yes, it is a national platform. So we do have a disadvantage as far as getting to know that local personality that you're going to see down at the car lot.
Well, not
you know, doing a remote.
Not even just that, but do you, I mean, it may not be a fact. I mean, as a company, you may have decided, well, we won't win that battle, so we're not fighting it. But, you know, just knowing about the, you know, the local school teacher who saved 18 kids from a flood, you know, you're never going to have that on your air because it's happened.
No.
You know, Arlington, Texas. Is that something that is even a concern, or is it just, well,
no,
we don't win that?
I really don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I just admitted to listening to 1010 Winds when I want to hear what's going on in New York. Of course, it's a, you know, big city. You can find a lot about what's going on in New York anywhere. But, you know, everybody said that AM radio or TV was going to kill AM radio. It never went away. They said that FM was going to kill AM radio. Well, that never really went away. It kind of maybe forced it into more of a niche thing. But, I think there's room for all these technologies.
Okay.
Some people think Pandora or other online music streaming services could put us out of business. But I think, personally, in that particular case, the three-legged stool of having music along with personalities and, hopefully, clever imaging, people really still like to have that human touch, I guess, if you will. A personality on the air. And in some cases live, in some cases, you know, we do can it. And then, you know, imaging that hopefully is different and positions the channel's mood the right, you know, in the right way. And you can go to iTunes or you can go to these other services, but I think that there's a lot of room for what we do, and I think it's the proof's in the pudding. I mean, we're a growing industry. We're continuing to add subscribers every year,
mm-hmm,
and be more and more profitable. And I personally, not toeing the company line, I think that we're going to continue to do that for quite some time.
That's actually my second to last question, to talk about the future. So maybe talk about it in terms of the way that, okay, I'm a guy in whatever market producing at a terrestrial station, and I think perhaps my job's going to be, you know, blown up soon. I want to look to my future. You know, is Sirius XM going to be a place that people can go to? Are you going to continue with a mostly full-time staff? Do you think that more, you know, 1099 work is going to come along? You know, how is this going to look for producers as we move along? You know, where will the jobs be? And when, you know,
yeah, I mean, we, I think I'm very fortunate, as I might have mentioned earlier, that our senior vice president of programming, Steve Blatter, is really, really, really big on imaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a foundational element of every radio channel. We don't farm out production. We have all full-time producers in-house, either in D.C. or New York. And, you know, I'd like to think as we continue to grow, we'll continue to add more producers. And I certainly have seen that trend.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think this is not being egotistical, but I think this is like if the top of the heap. I mean, you know, sure, you can be an imaging director in New York, Chicago, or L.A. maybe. And you know, there's some very, very, very talented people out there as well doing that. But I think that as we continue to grow as a company and get more and more subscribers, there's going to be more jobs, and hopefully we'll get more innovative and better every day as we you know, evolve as a company.
Tell me about terrestrial also, your opinion. Just as a guy who's just been, you know, big time in this business for a long time, you know, is it going to just continue with more and more work and less people? Is there going to be a stopping point where they simply won't cut anymore? Are we going to go back to a more ma and pa, you know, format after these corporations all go bankrupt? You know, where are we looking radio in general in the future as far as work goes?
Well, I've never been a huge, great, successful prognosticator. I thought Crash Test Dummies were going to be the biggest band ever some time ago. But anyway,
they weren't bad.
Off point. I'm not a programmer, obviously. You know, I think that, yes, I do see it continuing to shrink. Margins are get tighter and tighter. You know, we're in a capitalist country and we're here to make money as businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not Clear Channel and CBS are not profit. It's not an NPR. And I do think that as other technologies, the aforementioned music services, satellite radio, many other things, you know, are competing for, you know, a consumer's time and attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think radio will not go away, as I kind of did the analogy with AM, FM, and television, but it will continue to be marginalized. I mean, you know, back when I caught the tail end of the glory days of the AM radio and kind of the middle of the glory years of FM, it certainly isn't what it was when I got into the business. I shouldn't say this, but I almost make the joke sometimes. When you told people in the 70s, whatever, 60s, you were a DJ, they'd go, their eyes would light up. They go, oh, now they look at the floor like you're the janitor,
right,
you know, or something. But
it's like airline pilots way back when.
Well, yeah. The world changes pretty fast these days. Yep.
One final question. You can be as succinct or short as you want, but I ask this to everybody. If there's one thing that an up-and-comer can do who is, you know, a producer, to be successful in this business, whether it be in terrestrial or satellite, what is that one thing they can do?
Well, I think just keep your mind open along with your eyes and your ears. And, you know, I think it's good to listen to what other people do, but not necessarily, you know, copy or duplicate them. Do it your own. But I think, you know, the times, as I said, are changing so fast. You have to, you know, you adapt or die. You have to really try new and innovative ways. And one of the disadvantages we have in radio is it's just audio. We don't have the visual component, mm-hmm, like with television or video games or whatever, which a lot of, you know, radio producers are migrating into. If they're really good, they're, you know, working on audio for video or working with, you know, for Rockstar video games. I know a lot of folks that, you know, work for them. And, you know, I think it's just be adaptable and just kind of keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening in this country or across the world, really. What I really am disappointed in, you know, having to always recruit producers, is that America, in a way, I think, has kind of fallen behind as far as the creativity and some of the production I hear on terrestrial.
Yeah.
And I'm talking probably mostly from tapes or CDs people send me, or rap magazine CDs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I hear a lot of great radio coming out of Europe, Australia.
I figured you'd say
Canada,
Australia.
Even.
Yeah.
I just hear more cookie cutter stuff here, you know, and I'm probably talking more in the realm of imaging, but
certainly.
You know, so I think you have to set yourself up. You have to differentiate yourself as being capable of being adaptable, malleable, and also have a diverse skill set. You know, you can do a diverse range of genres or styles, mm-hmm. and I guess that's about as detailed as I can get. There's no magic bullet to success. This is a glamour industry in a sense, meaning there's not that many jobs. A lot of people looking from the outside in thinks it's really super awesome, and you know, like being a rock star or whatever. And although imaging people are kind of a niche, obviously. but I personally, that's been my personality all along. I was in theater as a young boy. With my father was in it, but I was always looking at the people behind the scenes, the director, the yep. stage manager, the people on the radio that you couldn't see. I never wanted to be in the spotlight. I never really wanted to be a DJ. That's how I just got in there, just to meet girls. But then I discovered production. You know,
less girls, but more stability.
Yeah. Well, more stability and more fun, I think.
Yeah.
It's totally open as to what you can do, especially now with, you know, 9,000 tracks on a Pro Tools rig. and you can take another take, too. It's not like being live on the air where, you know, you just crack the mic and you got your one shot.
Yep.
And you can refine and, you know, really do things as well as you can do them if you have the time.
Well, right on, Mitch. I've taken far too much of your time, as I usually do from everybody, but you were great. I really appreciate you joining the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoyed it. It's good talking to you, Ryan.
We'll keep up with you. We'll see if we can't get a couple of the most talented humans on the planet to apply for some work with you and get you some good guys over there.
You know, you can email me directly, mitch.todd@siriusxm.com.
Excellent.
Feel free to send a 3-4 megabyte MP3. Give me a little taste of what you can do, but I'll warn you, if you want to work for me, you got to jump through some hoops. You got to really show you're going to fit in this environment and carry your weight.
Oh, let me ask you one thing, because this has always perturbed me with some decision makers. If somebody sends you something and you don't like it, will you at least give them a response? Will you also maybe give some negative critique?
Absolutely.
Good.
I absolutely try to do that. And I also like to encourage people that don't come from the industry. As I said, I like to not just dive into the radio pool looking for candidates. I can't say I've always done that. I'm sure there's going to be some people out there listening that said, the son of a bitch never called me back. And because, as you can imagine, I probably get a lot of people approaching me. But I think that's critical, especially since the farm team isn't out there, like I say.
Yep.
I think it's good to do that. And I try to... when I go through these process, for instance, with the custom demos, they usually go through it 3 or 4 or 5 times. And I'll give a direct, honest critique. And I think 98% of the time, most people appreciate that.
They should.
They want to hear that. They're hungry for that.
They should, yeah.
And not that I'm always right. It's a highly subjective thing we do, you know.
It doesn't matter. You get good critique from 10 people, you get 10 good critiques, period. No.
Yeah, and if it kind of goes back to not thinking you're the best at what you do. If you're open to learning and getting better, you're going to be open to critiques and criticism from anybody, from your wife or your a professional, whatever. I mean, it's very vital. I think that, and I wish more people did that and were just straight with people. And I really think that's important, because. They're not going to learn.
Couldn't agree with you more. I'm happy to hear you say that. Mitch, I'll let you go. I'm sure you've got some things to do over there. I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for being on the show.
You got it, Ryan. Anytime. The
producers. Thanks again to Mitch Todd. I very much appreciate his time there. I was delayed getting this one out there, but I do know that he has been searching for, I believe, multiple imaging producers over there at SiriusXM for a while now. So I would highly recommend, if you're looking for a very cool gig, to get him your stuff. And he kind of explained there, and mostly in part one, you know, what you should do to stand out, you know, what he wants to hear and what you shouldn't do. So I would heed his words if you are interested in getting a gig over there at SiriusXM. But from all accounts, a great place to work. And the people I do know that work there have zero complaints. coming up here on the Producers Podcast. Like I said, I'm really getting them out about once a month. I'd like to do it more, and on occasion I will get them out every 2 or 3 weeks, but let's just say about a month from now I should be speaking with Ian Sturgeon, one of my best buds in the business. I highly respect his skills as a sound designer, which will be how most people know him, with the Big Fish products, bigfishworldwide.com, if you want to see all he has to offer. But he's a great imaging talent too. And a quirky guy, and funny, might I say funny. I like the way he markets himself. I like the way he runs his business. So we'll get into, you know, sound design. Ian is one of the best. And also talk about running a business. He's making a real good living doing what he loves. Ian Sturgeon next. Let's see here. I have other guests that are on deck, but I did want to highlight a few things coming to the blog. Raul Segura, who started a Spanish imaging blog. You'll find the links on my website. I did a 9.5 questions with him at one point. He's actually doing some cool things where, you know, he may be doing some Spanish translation or subtitles maybe of some of the things that I've done. Subtitles of the video that I've done and some of the tutorial videos. But also some translations. So I would recommend just do a little search for Raul on my site. It'll pop his stuff up there first, and he's going to do an interview with me in Spanish. I will be speaking English, of course. He'll do all the work and turn it into Spanish. I guess I could use Google Translate for that also. Anyway, so I'll let you know when that comes up. Let's see here. I have there's a new service that I'll just make a quick mention. It's called Splice. It's video for radio. Drake Donovan, who some of you may have at least heard of, if not know his work well, and Terry Phillips, a guy I actually work with on the country product that I have put together here. Anyway, those two guys are creating Splice video for radio. Really cool service. They're smart dudes, and really they're just dedicated to radio imaging, but they're bringing video into the fold a little more than anyone else has that I've noticed, you know, doing it so that it's conducive for radio stations. So I'm going to probably try and do some sort of a roundtable type discussion with both of them, talk about their product, of course, but also talk about how to implement video into your world if that's something you've never done. So that's Drake and Terry. Also, I should mention that K3, Kelly Doherty, Clear Channel, just genius imaging talent, and now manager, VP, big wig of Clear Channel. She's just a super talent, and she was a guest on the podcast way back when. I checked in with her to congratulate her on her new job. She'll be moving to New York City soon. And she says, yeah, I'm yanking out all my hair because there's a lot to take care of. But at some point, I'm going to check in with her on the blog and see what her new gig is going to entail, how much of the world she will actually be taking over, and where the rest of us fit into that. So look forward to that on the blog as well. If you have anything to contribute, I can tell you I'm always looking forward to people submitting stuff for the blog for others to share in. You know, if you got a new product, you want to review it. If you found a new trick in Pro Tools or Audition or Vegas or whatever your DAW of choice is. If you just want to tell a cool story. If you want to let us inside your studio, the in the studio portion of the blog has gotten a little bit bigger. And we've checked in worldwide now, all over the place. So if you click the in the studio stuff. So anyway, there's a lot to check out there. But like I said, as always, I would love to have your input. Anything you'd like to contribute, send it. You can use the contact form on my website up in the top menu. RyanDreen@gmail.com is the email address. Snail mail if you want. Whatever else you want to do to get in touch, go ahead and do it. Otherwise, thanks so much for checking out the podcast. I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at RyanOnTheRadio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.